Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out. Today's episode of Behind the Scenes podcast, we have Five Mary's Farms. If you follow them on Instagram, which you should, because I've shared about this on my Instagram many times, but they're by far my favorite people to follow on Instagram.
Also known as Brian and Mary.
And Mary Heffernan, and they are on the podcast today. We are talking about farming, entrepreneurship, raising kids, making big decisions, transitions, taking the narrow path.
Yeah, and really just
all kinds of things.
They have a very unique story, yes, that really inspires Audrey and I.
And resonates with our souls.
In many ways resonates with our definition of success as well. And so it's a really fun conversation. It was a pleasure to have them on. So
super excited to share it with you guys.
Let's jump into it. Our conversation with Brian and Mary Heffernan. Mary and Brian, good to have you guys on the show.
Thanks, Jeremy. We're happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
So we wish that we could translate the smell. Brian, you need to tell us what you've been doing all day. You took an hour break to talk with us, but what are you really doing today?
Just be happy it's all audio.
I've been
weaning pigs all day, so I don't look good and I certainly don't smell good right now.
Nice.
Check on he and our daughter Maisie, and he had two giant piglets holding them in his arms, and they're kicking and screaming. And Maisie was helping him ear tag them, so they've been busy on the ranch today.
And is it really hot there right now? And you guys are in Northern California. Is it really hot?
We're in Northern California. We're in the mountains, so it's not bad here. The valleys of California get the heat, but we just back from County Fair, which is usually always really warm, and we had this crazy thunderstorm and cold front move in for like 2 days, and we were in jackets at the County Fair. It was pouring rain.
Oh my gosh.
So we've had some unusual weather, but it's warmed up now. It's like 80, 85 degrees. It's pretty nice today.
Yeah, for sure. So just a little context before we dive into it, Brian, Mary, just give us and our listeners a little context as to, I don't know, who you are, how long you've been married, where do you live? And then we'll get into kind of what you do in a second, but just paint the scene real quick as far as where you live and who you guys are, how long you've been married.
Sure. Well, we are Brian and Mary Heffernan of Five Mary's Farms. And right now we live in Northern California, in the farthermost tip of Northern California, almost to the Oregon border.
Nice.
Brian grew up in Red Bluff, California, and I grew up in Menlo Park down in the Bay Area. And that's where we met, I guess, 14 years ago. And we kind of, it was one of those, we both knew that this was it once we met. So we were engaged 6 months later and married 7
awesome.
Months later and started jumping into a family right away. So our first daughter, Francie, was born, I think a year and a half after we were married. And since then we've had 4 little girls. They are all named after different grandmothers in the family. So they have a double first name, but they all start with Mary. Hence the term Five Mary's Farms.
Yeah,
we picked the name when we moved here and started kind of branding our new business, which is farming and ranching.
I actually thought it was a pretty easy call, but now people are calling me Mary Brian all the time.
Oh no!
Funny.
So, but Brian was a lawyer when I met him. His dad was a farmer, and he grew up more in agriculture, but. When he, it came time to Brian to kind of go into the workforce, and he asked his dad what he thought about working with him. And he said, you know, there's really not a place here for you. You need to go out and do your own thing and figure out a way to make money, because it's not easy making a living as a farmer or rancher. And so Brian went to law school and was working at a big firm in the Bay Area, a big corporate firm. So when I met him, he was wearing a suit and going to work every early mornings and working really long hours. And I had small businesses. So I had a tutoring company and a few other kind of brick and mortar entrepreneurial small business where we lived. So after we got married and started having kids, we just realized that we wanted a little more autonomy, and we really liked, you know, spending our days together and not having, you know, one of us with the kids and the other one coming home at night for dinner. So we kind of consciously made some decisions to change what we were doing for a living to allow us to have our own businesses and work together. So Brian left the firm and started his own, hung his own shingle and started his own law firm. And subleased a space in my tutoring company above where I had a little business. He started an office right there. So kind of from the beginning, we, you know, we'd work together every day, even though we had very different professions.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool.
And then we accidentally started a restaurant.
How'd that accidentally happen?
Well, Mary accidentally started the restaurant. Mary always enjoyed going out to eat. You know, before we had kids and when we had kids, we both enjoyed going out to eat. She liked her lunches and such. And we quickly realized once we had our first kid that the restaurants that were so welcoming to us before we had kids kind of were a little less excited, it seemed, to have us.
Interesting.
Born.
Yeah.
But, you know, it didn't take away the desire. And so Mary, and we started looking around at space, and she had this idea that let's do a nice restaurant, a nice simple restaurant where we cater in the food, but someone else watches the kids and you can have a, you know, have a meal or a glass of wine and kind of enjoy yourself while the kids are on site. So it's guilt free. And we found a building and kind of snowballed a bit from there. And California, there's nothing easy about doing anything. And we figured out that we wanted to cater in food. They were going to require we had a full commercial kitchen.
Oh, wow.
And so started going down that road. And anyway, by the time it was done, we had a full commercial kitchen and this area that was really rad. And when you have a full commercial kitchen, you might as well staff the commercial kitchen.
Yeah.
And before we knew it, we were serving 3 meals a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
And where is this? What
city
are you in?
Where was this?
This was in the Bay Area where we lived.
Okay. Yeah. You're still down there.
And, you know, it just, it was a lot of fun. It was really great, you know, creatively to come up with the concept. And I love the, you know, branding and logo design and building the website and kind of, you know, all the startup of a business. But once we started, I really realized how difficult it is to run a restaurant. And
yeah,
Brian is a great cook and really great with the creative stuff too, and really great with dealing with employees. So he kind of started helping me more and more until it was really a team effort. And the, you know, the restaurant was busy and we had to line out the door a lot of days. And so we decided to do a second restaurant in the same town with a little different concept, but still very family friendly and geared towards providing great food and a great atmosphere towards families. And then we quickly realized that, you know, sourcing good quality ingredients was going to be the one of the most important things for us.
So, yeah.
We were looking for to work with farms that we could develop a relationship with, you know, be a part of what they were doing and feel really good about putting their meats on our menu. And we met some really great farms and farmers, but the consistency and the quality and just their ability to provide enough for us year round was really difficult. So, you know, we'd done a lot of testing knowing exactly what we wanted. We wanted beef that was raised all naturally, you know, on a small operation like a family farm. We wanted a grass-fed lifestyle with a barley finish. We wanted a 28-day dry age. We knew all the parts that we wanted involved in producing really great quality meat. And when we couldn't find anyone doing it, we just kind of looked at each other like, well, let's just do it ourselves.
Hold on.
Wait, but you're still living in the Bay Area, right?
Yeah. And wait, let's backtrack just a second. So are you at this point still both in your previous jobs?
Yes. Brian was still working as a lawyer in his own business. And then we had our own kind of shops and small businesses around, including our restaurants. And, you know, we just moved to a house that we'd worked so hard for. You know, we started in a little starter home and then moved to a bigger house. And
yeah,
finally we had four kids. We had just bought this beautiful historic Craftsman home that was walking distance to downtown. You know, it really felt like this is what we've been working for. This is where we wanted to be. You know, I'd walk around that house like, gosh, I'm so lucky that we live here. Kind of like, all right, we've arrived. We've worked so hard and now we're
here.
And it was like literally 6 months later that we're like, actually, we're totally here.
Well, was that feeling of like, actually, was that because of the direction the restaurant business was taking you, do you think? Or was it because something in you was still wrestling for something?
Well, I mean, going back to, you know, I grew up on a farm and I always kind of wanted to be a farmer. There's something about it, that small town, you know, working with the dirt. I went, when I was a lawyer, I was a real estate attorney. I was a dirt lawyer, I like to say. you know, I just never lost that kind of desire to figure out a way to get back. And I frankly wasn't sure it was ever going to be an option. Mary and I kind of looked at rural properties, kind of like weekend warrior kind of things, off and on since we were married, since we were together, actually, even before we were married. And so we started kind of poking around and kept poking around. And the restaurant might have been the thing that kind of moved the needle to have us look a little more seriously. At the end of the day, it was at best just a weak business rationalization for a dream.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys have clearly always been big dreamers together from the get-go. Multiple business ideas, looking at property before you're even married, you know, opening up multiple restaurants in the first few years. Like,
that's go bigger.
So I want to know, and I'm sure you guys are going to get to the end of this, and just to backtrack a little bit. So we found you guys through my parents, and I don't want to jump too far ahead in the story, but my mom loves following you, Mary, on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they buy your guys's meat, which again, we'll get to that point in the story, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I do want you guys to talk about like the transition from, and you're probably getting at this, where you were living in, you know, Silicon Valley in the Bay Area to then going, oh, we're going to go be ranchers. And, you know, was that prompted by faith? Was that a business decision? Was it for your kids? Like, what was the motivating driver behind that shift in the story?
I think, you know, when we started looking a little harder, the ranch, we like to say, kind of found us. We found a ranch in a small town that was in this little idyllic valley that we kind of jumped into. But again, it was still the objective. We were still in this great opportunity zone of the Bay Area. We had an entire life built down there. The original plan was, hey, we're just going to live down here in the Bay Area and kind of farm on the weekends and continue to do what we were doing.
And I think it's kind of just, you know, one of those things where the timing of life, like everything comes together at the right time and just pushes you in a certain direction. You know, it wasn't a conscious decision like, hey, we want to leave this fast paced life for a slower life. And it wasn't, you know, well, let's just get up and totally change gears. It just sort of happened. And you know, the way we kind of roll, things happen quickly. But we started, you know, we bought this ranch. I found a different ranch on the internet with a, you know, quick search on a laptop, sitting with my sister-in-law one day thinking like, well, you know, what would be a dream property? And Brian came back from a run, which he doesn't have to do anymore because now he lifts millions of pounds of hay.
Yeah.
But he came back, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, we're just looking for a ranch. And I found this one, that we should go look at it. He's like, yeah, I'm game. If you're looking for ranches again, let's go do it. And so we went and saw this ranch, and it wasn't what we thought. You know, it wasn't kind of, didn't fit the profile. And the realtor said, well, there's this other ranch I can show you, but, you know, it's been on the market a while, and it's kind of could be tied up in a succession issue, and it's complicated. And, you know, Brian was a real estate attorney, so he said, well, none of that scares me. Let's go see it.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was a dreary November day. We got out of the car at what is now our ranch, and I said, let's get back in the car. We don't need to look at this one. It wasn't immediately what, you know, it wasn't this, oh, this is our dream property. It was, you know, muddy and the worst time of year. And there was, this, you know, this little house with no fence in front of it with a road nearby. And it just wasn't what I had in my head.
It was the fixer-upper house versus the house that someone else had fixed up.
Yeah.
I like the fixer-upper.
I'm usually all fixer-upper, but this was just like what, it wasn't what I had pictured. And so Brian said, well, you know, we're here. Let's take the time to look around. And the realtor drove us like farther up the mountain and onto the property where the views are just amazing. And once we got up there, that totally changed. And we just looked out like, wait, this does feel right. This is where we're supposed to be. So we bought the ranch pretty quickly and started coming up on the weekends. And we went from, you know, a very comfortable, beautiful home to a 760 square foot cabin.
It used to be a chicken coop.
Oh my gosh.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. It had two tiny bedrooms with, or still has two tiny bedrooms connected with a tiny bathroom and laundry room. There's a living room with a wood stove as its only source of heat. And there's a tiny little kitchen. And that is the house that we thought, well, we'll make this work for the weekends. And we started coming up on the weekends, and our oldest had just finished kindergarten. So our kids were really little. You know, a lot of people say like, oh, how did your kids transition? And luckily it was at a time where it was so easy for them.
Yeah,
they didn't have established routines, and they just loved the outdoors and kicking their shoes off and running around the ranch. But, you know, we were kind of disheartened with like raising kids in that kind of a fast paced life. And, you know, there were a lot of good things about the Bay Area and we had a lot of great friends, but things were just so busy. And so once we had the opportunity to be on the ranch kind of for a summer, we realized that this was what we wanted to do. This was the way we wanted to raise our kids. This is where we wanted to be as a family. And it honestly was such an easy decision to make to say, you know what, we're going to do this full time. We'll sell that beautiful house that we worked so hard for. We're going to live in this tiny house and sell our businesses and restart our life and try to figure out how to make a living as first generation ranchers, which is certainly no easy task.
No kidding.
The odds are against you. And it was exceptionally easy decision for me to make, and Mary as well. She was all in. It was a little more difficult to execute. Kind of transition and the sales of operations and transitions of operations and all that kind of thing. But you know, we had a lot of time. It was 6 hours each way from the Bay Area with four kids and car seats, and we had a lot of windshield time to kind of figure it out and decide, you know, is this what we want to do? And I don't think there was much hesitation that we thought we'd tackle this as a family.
Wow. So, I mean, this is quite a transition, and I love that. And it's like listening to you guys talk about your desires and going and just what you want for your, I mean, Aj and I here are nodding our head like, yeah, like that is, sounds familiar to some of our conversations, but you guys like have made that transition. Would you say communication was kind of your major point of, you know, achievement and all that, allowing you to achieve that?
I think Brian and I are really good about, you know, staying on the same page and communicating through it. And, you know, we always say that marriage isn't a 50-50 thing. It's 100 and 100. And,
yeah,
you know, both of you have to give 100% and you'll get 100% in return. And nobody's, you know, well, I just did this and I worked harder, so you got to take the kids. And, you know, we both have hard days and sometimes those are the same hard days and sometimes they're different. And, you know, we just really, I think we've always worked really well together, and we're lucky that we had that time to kind of work side by side when he was lawyering, but had an office nearby, and then working together in the restaurants. And now finally just, you know, Brian and I on the ranch with our girls every day, trying to navigate raising animals and raising kids, in addition to growing a business, selling our meats direct to consumer. And we have a restaurant now, which we said we'd never, ever, ever do again.
Yeah.
But never say never. So, you know, I think there's stuff comes up every day. Another one of our favorite sayings is nothing is easy, because if it were, everyone would do it.
Yeah, I love that.
On, especially in ranching, you know, you get knocked down every day. There's broken pipes, or there's, you know, crops ruined, or there's crazy weather, or
cattle, the gate was open.
You're just putting out fires all the time.
Every day.
There's a lot of landmines to slip on. And you know, we didn't really have, I kind of overestimated my, the fact that I grew up in ranching would translate into being, you know, having the base tools to ranch. And, It continues to be very daunting, and there's a lot to learn. We've been really fortunate that a lot of people have been doing this a lot longer than us, have been real generous about sharing their thoughts and advice. And that's a neat thing about the ag community, is that it's a very supportive community. But we've had, I mean, a lot of hard days. We continue to have hard days. And especially when we first got started, it was just overwhelming. And, you know, it was just Mary and I and the kids. And, you know, you'd be out trying to figure out how to make a large 75 horsepower well pump work in the middle of summer, because, you know, if your grass didn't grow, your animals had nothing to eat. And, you know, this wasn't a hobby for us. We had to make it work. And that was really, I think, very, very effective way for Mary and I to really work together.
Yeah, it was hard every day. You're just kind of that, combined with raising animals, knowing that there's a something more important than either of you. You know, there's no time to argue or get your feelings hurt. When there's, you know, the health and safety of animals at the helm. And I learned that very quickly working cattle with Brian.
Yeah.
There's like a ranch wives sign that says, you know, God says thou shalt not swear unless he's working cattle.
Yeah, that is funny.
You know, it's you Brian, we are both very, you know, calm, and we talk things through, but when you're working cattle, there might be a do that, close that gate now, like get it done. And
yeah,
like you can't get your feelings hurt because the animals come first. And that sort of translates to everything in our life now, because the kids, you know, they're very resourceful and independent. And I think a lot of that comes from understanding that the animals come first. So, you know, there's no mom wins dinner. Oh, looks like mom and dad are still stuck out there. I better make dinner for my sisters. Up realizing that there is something that what we do in taking care of these animals is more important than any of us. They will tell you, and we tell them, that, you know, the animals eat first. So we finish chores before we have dinner. And sometimes that means it's 10 o'clock at night in the summer when we finally sit down to dinner. But you know, they understand and appreciate that. And we all do. And I think that helps us put our priorities in the right place and work together well.
Yeah. So, oh, sorry, go on, Brian.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, the kids have been really, not just window dressing to this operation. They've been tremendously helpful. I mean, they have real responsibilities and real jobs that they do, and they take them very seriously, whether it's, you know, kind of keeping track of which animals are close to having babies, or just going out and, you know, they're to the point now where they can go and check cows and make sure everybody's healthy. And we do that twice a day, and they can take some of the work off of us and feel a lot of pride in what they're doing.
Yeah, they drive all the vehicles, and we'll be the first ones, you know, if we're driving home, they look over and Maisie will say, oh, that cow looks like she's about to calve. We better go out and check it. And I'm like, huh, really? I didn't even notice that. Like they're really attuned to what's going on. And our youngest, because she has the smallest hands, is now the official pig midwife. And when last time we had a mama pig who was having a really hard time in labor and had some babies stuck. And so Tessa got down on her little bare feet and braced herself, and she had to go shoulder deep in this mama pig and pull out this piglet. And so my sister showed her, my niece, Brennan, who's six, of the video of Tessa pulling these piglets. And my niece goes, "Hallelujah, that's terrifying."
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Man. I can't even. Okay. And one of my favorite things about watching, which by the way, you guys all need to go follow Five Mary's Farms on Instagram. I've said this on my Instagram account many a times, but you guys are probably my favorite people to follow of everybody that I follow on Instagram. And I'm not just saying that. but one of the most hilarious things to me is when I watch and you're like, yep, the kids are out doing chores. And I just laugh because I'm like, this is not the kind of chores that I grew up doing. Like when you say, oh yeah, you know, JJ's doing the chores with whatever. It's like their chores are delivering pigs and, you know, these kinds of things where they have high responsibility. It's not just taking out the trash or feeding the cat. You know what I mean? Like, and I've seen them working the registers in the shop. Like, they're so involved in what you guys do. And I love that you guys make them so a part of that. It's really cool.
Yeah, we're really lucky. It's, you know, it's a big bonus of this lifestyle, but it's also a necessity because, you know, we only have one full-time ranch hand. And so those girls are a pretty necessary part of the operation.
Yeah. And it's so cool too, I think, from just as like a bystander, as people just watching this happen, mostly on Instagram, I guess, is seeing the family team you guys have built. Like, it's really cool to have, you know, your kids feel so a part of the adventure you guys are on, the story that, you know, you're writing, the journey. And I think that does, you know, amazing things for kids. And I say that sort of from experience. I mean, I grew up on a farm. And it wasn't a ranch by any means. Like, we didn't have cattle or do any of that stuff. But, you know, it was a farm nonetheless, pumpkin farm and whatnot. And so I just remember being so involved, you know, in the day-to-day stuff. It was really special. And so it's such a joy to watch it. And
you guys,
like,
have that family business aspect too.
Yeah, totally. I mean, even watching, you know, one of them driving, like, you know, got to move dad's truck because you're building the snorkel or whatever. Like, I literally just saw that today or yesterday or something. And it's like, yes, I grew up having to move the truck. And it's so cool to watch. I think it's super fun. And mostly it's just, this, you know, your kids are a part of the team. And I think that's something that's definitely missing in a lot of families today. Is it's hard to do that in certain circumstances. And I think you guys are doing a really great job. And it's something that the ranch life, if you will, inevitably kind of provides. As you said, it's a necessity.
Right. Yeah. And it gives, I mean, they have a lot of pride in the wins and the overall operation and, you know, how things are presented, but they also, you know, they also feel the losses too. And which is really interesting to kind of see them, you know, when an animal's, you know, not doing well or, you know, something significant breaks, they recognize that as a big deal. Whereas, you know, in our old life, you know, all the significant decisions were made or were happenings in our family were happening on a laptop and through email and things like that. The kids didn't really get that front row seat to kind of the real gears of the operation.
That's a really good point. Yeah. So back to the story. So catch us up kind of on all of the things that you guys are, you know, you've kind of led us a little bit through the transition. Now, what all is going on? What is Five Mary's Farms? When exactly did that get established? So you moved there, you needed to raise your own cattle.
You're still living in the same house, right?
Yeah, we're still in the tiny little house. We popped up into the attic, so the girls share kind of an open attic room now.
Nice.
But yeah, we had plans to build a house, and Brian thought that was the only way he was going to be able to convince me to live here full time. So we had an architect draw up these big, beautiful house plans. And about the time we were going to go submit them, I said, maybe we should wait a year. Like, we're really happy in this little house, and it's so cozy, and we don't spend much time in it. So why don't we hold off for a year? And now it's been 5 years. We're so happy in that little house. And, you know, we spend so much time outside, and we've done, we're big project people and, you know, always kind of looking for the next opportunity. So we at this point in our lives are much happier putting our resources into building our brand and jumping on opportunities than living in a big, nice house.
So yeah.
It was 5 years ago that we moved to the ranch this summer, and we realized that we wanted to do this full time, and we had to come up with a business model that would sustain that. So we started raising our own meats. We do beef, pork, and lamb. And, you know, it took about a year until we had product ready because we had to raise the animals. And when we did have our first product, we tried, kind of doing pop-up farm stands, we called them, where we'd go back to the Bay Area and set up our own little farmer's market, like in my parents' backyard or in a friend's yeah. house, and have kind of a, Brian called them cocktail parties, or Tupperware parties
with cocktails.
Yeah, okay.
Because they'll have a great spread and a cocktail bar and bring in a chef and do really good food and tell people about what we were doing and why we were raising this meat. And then people could buy the meat and take it home. And that worked great to get the word out. And then we tried one round of deliveries where we'd have people order, and then the girls and I drove orders down and would drop them off at houses. And
oh my gosh.
Halfway through.
6 hours each way.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Halfway through it, I called Brian in tears, and I'm not a crier. And I was like, this isn't sustainable. This is not why we signed up to do this. If I'm sitting in traffic with the girls, this is totally stressful. So we were like, we want to be on the ranch. We don't want to have to leave the ranch. And that's why we're doing this. And that's the most efficient way for us to take really good care of these animals and provide a great product. And shipping our meats seemed a logical solution. So we dove into logistically how we could ship meat. You know, it arrives to customers' doorsteps frozen. We can ship it anywhere in the U.S. But it was a long, long learning curve to figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things, like at every roadblock, like, you know, we drive an hour and a half twice a week each way to get dry ice to put in these boxes. There's no shortcut around that, you know, and for some people you might think, well, that's too far. That's a roadblock. We're just not going to be able to do it. Or we had to order our first custom liners. You know, we didn't want to use foam. We didn't want to use styrofoam. We wanted a biodegradable, you know, earth friendly packaging that matched our vision and our model. So we had to have these designed and order like 3,000 of them for the first order. And we're like, you know, there's a lot of big jumping off points where we just looked at each other like, we can't stop now. Like, we have to keep pushing. We have to keep doing this. So
we know that. Yeah.
Trial and error. In a year, we successfully figured out how to pack meat in a box on dry ice and get it to a customer's doorstep anywhere in the U.S. And that's really the base of our whole business model now.
Yeah.
But from there, we've grown. And, you know, our mission is always, how can we get the word out and let people feel a part of what they're doing, to truly, you know their farmer or rancher and connect with us. And we use social media almost exclusively, and mostly Instagram, to tell our story and connect with people. And we kind of use the analogy that, you know, in the olden days, or whatever you want to call it, you would drive by your neighbor who maybe raised cattle and see him out there in the rain, in all weather, at all times of the day or night, caring for his cattle, feeding his cattle, you know, maybe pulling a calf. And you'd think, wow, I know he takes really good care of his animals. And then when he might, you know, a couple times a year, sell his meat, you would buy it knowing, I feel really good about
yeah.
how this meat is raised. I've seen it. I trust this farmer, and I want to feed this to my family. And geographically, that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
But social media, we can share that same story, and people can, you know, watch our lives kind of unfold with what we share on social media and feel that connection, knowing that we're working hard to raise these animals right, and they can feel good about feeding these meats to our family. So we're really lucky to live in a time where, you know, social media is where it is. And grow these businesses from a rural town. I mean, I think Fort Jones's population.
683.
Oh my gosh.
Love that.
And it's amazing. I mean, it's so true. This is how my mom started following you guys, and she could see the story and she felt connected. She's like, I want to start buying my meat from them, you know, not just because she didn't know it was going to taste amazing before she got it, but because she connected with following you guys and the stories that you tell. And you guys have honestly kind of revolutionized the industry of being able to ship meat in a way, right? I mean, like, there's not a lot of farmers that are doing that.
Well,
are there?
Yeah, I think there are a couple doing it, but I would say what they've done really, really well from observing is you guys have very successfully kind of solved the problem of trusting your farm, like the farm to table aspect, right? Like, they've bridged that gap using social media and done it in a way that I haven't seen ever done.
Yeah.
Let alone done well. And right. So that's really, really cool.
Thank you. It wasn't an easy road. And by the way, Audrey, your mom is the best. She's the cutest customer and always writes cute notes in her boxes and is so supportive. And I love how she Instagrams her meals and always tags.
She loves it.
Oh yeah, she loves
it. She's just like 100%. And she knows. Audrey, did you see today? I mean, like, anytime I see her, she's referencing something that went down on the farm.
And one thing I think also that I love about your guys' story and why we're fans of you guys and we think everyone listening should tune in to the Instagram and just check you guys out is it's out of the normal. Like, you didn't do the average thing, and what you're doing is hard. But that's why it's so interesting. And I think so many people lobby for like kind of the easier route, which you guys could have done in your nice house, in the Bay Area. But it's interesting when people do something that's along the narrow road, you know?
It's a really satisfying life. You know, it's not easy. And, you know, we went from all the amenities to no amenities. And, you know, but there's something that about kicking your boots off at the end of the day, dog tired and feeling accomplished with what you did that day, much more than we've always worked hard and we've always gotten a lot done, but it was a lot more, you know, like Brian said, on laptops and moving pieces here and there. And now it's physically manual labor, fixing problems, solving animal issues. And it is just really rewarding at the end of the day, especially to be able to do it as a family.
Yeah. The big sacrifice was comfort and convenience. I mean, that was our old world. It's, you know, where, you know, how a nice house that, you know, Mary would get her hair blown out twice a week. So there is no salon in the town we're in. So she's got to suffer there. But my point is that everything, you know, was about comfort and convenience and working hard to get the life that you were supposed to have. And, and to not struggle. Well, you know, I guess there's something that maybe is a little more rewarding about the struggle than people give it credit for. We really, there's a lot of pride at the end of the day doing what we do, raising animals we feel the right way, you know, making sure that everybody's as well cared for as can possibly be. You kind of go to bed at night feeling pretty proud of yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the season of having young kids is when it's so important too, because, you know, they see us and they are right alongside us as we're all kind of, you know, struggling and working hard and solving problems. And, I want them to grow up and sit and say, well, yeah, when we were little, we all shared one room and sometimes one bed, and it's too hot up in the attic in the summer. So they all take their camping cots and they've been sleeping on the front porch.
I see that.
Oh, this is like Jeremy's dream.
Stop. Listen.
He growing up did not sleep in his house. He slept. He'd pitch his tent by the campfire pit, which is like how far from the house?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's half a mile. Yeah.
When you're a kid, you feel like it's over the river and through the woods. But yeah, exactly. He would sleep out there every single night, all summer long, every year, just by himself.
I love this because in a sense, it's rediscovering success, you know? And I think there's something so just, and again, everyone can't do this, right? It's like all lawyers can't drop their jobs and go, by and large, there's something so humane and just natural about, choosing exactly what you guys have chosen and that narrower road and kicking your feet up at the end of the day and actually having a blister, you know? not from loafers or stilettos. Like, I think that's super.
I think back a long way, I can remember what those are.
And I love it. I mean, I'm shaking my head. I think Aj and I, just on a personal note, we And Brian, I don't know if you know, this is similar to you, but I, having grown up on land in a farm, like, I can't escape it. I know that I will be back on it one day, and there's something deep down in my bones that aches for it. And Aj and I are kind of in that moment right now, and we're quite a few years behind you guys, I think, but we're in that moment of kind of figuring out what that might look like and what we want that to be. And it's kind of stressful at times, but also it's hopeful. We know that we definitely want to pursue a similar road. And so we are encouraged by you guys and love your story.
Oh, that's cool. No, thank you for saying that. Yeah. It's something that there's just something about it that, for us, I'd always hoped to be doing what I'm doing now. And it just was a little bit of a few detours in the road to get here. But at the end of the day, it's a good trade for us.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember too, that, you know, the path that takes you there is long and winding, and I wouldn't even call them detours, but just part of our story.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think like, oh, we need to do that now. And, you know, we're young and we're starting out and we need to buy land. And, you know, Brian and I, when we started this whole new chapter of our life, I think I was 35 and he was 41. So, you know, it's never too late. And it's never like, this is something that, you know, people want to pursue this dream. It can happen in the future. It doesn't have to happen right now. But, you know, I think there's a lot of things you can do right now to kind of hopefully point your path a little bit in that direction.
Yeah. And I'd add to that, that, you know, in terms of you're not sure how it's going to go or what's going to happen. If I showed you the, our original pro forma or budget that we did to kind of get into ranching, I mean, it's laughable at this point. I mean, meaning that what we've done is absolutely totally different than really what we expected or what I might have expected ranching was going to be like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we bought a ranch that was a hay and a cattle ranch. Well, I thought the hay was going to be perhaps a good play for us. And now we're really not doing as much hay. And you just, you know, you don't know what's really going to happen. The key is that you've got a good, you know, you've got the dream and a good anchor point next to you, and you just, you know, hammer at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us really quick what a day in the life looks like right now. And I know that's different in the summertime, maybe, than the wintertime, or different seasons for you guys with the animals. But how do you guys start your day every day, and how do you end your day every day?
Brian's the early bird and I'm the night owl. So he's up at 4:40 a.m. every morning before the sun. He gets some, you know, work done, paying bills, or on his laptop, or planning the day. You know, he's got all the animal health information and spreadsheets. And then at first light, he's out feeding the animals, getting things ready for the day, getting ready for projects, whether it's fixing fence or fixing water lines or building new pastures. And then the girls and I are a little bit later to rise. But once we're up and moving, we're out helping and working in the garden, or helping, you know, today was weaning pigs or moving cattle or helping. We're in calving season now, which is a lot of fun because we're just starting to drop baby calves. So that as soon as they're born, we have to ear tag them, give them a selenium shot and make sure we've got all the records down. So Brian jokes that every day is Groundhog Day because it's this, you know, the same animals need to be fed the same way, the same waters need to be checked, but in the exact opposite way. You never know what you're going to say. Wow. These things all happen today when you wake up. It's kind of, you know, what the ranch throws at us and what problems we need to tackle and what projects we decide to put on our to-do list and change priority. But they're long days full of work. You know, we eat dinner after dark. So in the winter, obviously the seasons kind of change and it'll be dark at 4:30. And those are really fun nights when we're all in the house early and, you know, we'll be doing puzzles together or sitting by the fire. And you really get a lot of extra family time in the winter because you can't work as late. In the summer, we're working till 9:30 at night and then come in for dinner. And everybody's a little tired in the summer because the sunlight allows us to work so much longer. But, you know, we do a lot more entertaining in the summer. We built this campsite up at the ranch where we can have people come out to experience ranch life and be a part of it. We've got the luxury wall tents and really cozy beds, and we built this really neat outdoor kitchen where we can cook and entertain and have people out in the ranch. So it usually ends up that in the summer we do a lot more hospitality and entertaining. And then I got Brian into the restaurant business again when we bought this historic bar and restaurant in downtown Fort Jones. It's been a bar since the 1800s and went through Prohibition and has the original license right after Prohibition. It's really cool.
So cool. And
we're bottling our own double barrel aged bourbon and whiskey. And we're just doing a collaboration with the winery to do Five Mary's wine. So we serve all our own meats at the restaurant. We've got a great menu. We do lunch and dinner 6 days a week. And a lot of people come from all over to kind of experience like our brand. And it's so nice to have that restaurant because we can't really just drop everything to give ranch tours all day. And so, you know, having the restaurant, and then we have a little farm store in town where we sell our meats and use as our shipping operation. We're shipping probably 98% of our meats to customers all over the US, but some people can come in directly here and buy. So we joke that when we finish our day job of being ranchers, and Brian has to go to his night job, and we go go to the bar and check on the restaurant and just check in with our staff. And we're really proud of kind of what we've built here with this restaurant. But, you know, we joke sometimes because the kids will be like, do we have to go to the bar tonight?
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
Do we have to go to the bar? We're like, yeah, get in the car. Come on, guys.
Wow.
And you guys I always see on your stories, Mary has a sidecar. Tell us what's in a sidecar, because we just have to know.
Our ranch sidecar is a little variation from, if you order a sidecar in a restaurant, it's usually brandy and Cointreau and lemon juice. But we do it with Meyer lemon juice and bourbon, usually Five Mary's bourbon, and a little Cointreau or a honey simple syrup. We have a Five Mary's honey that we make a really yummy simple syrup. And it's just shaken on ice with like a sugared rim. And it's a very refreshing cocktail, and I'm a big fan of bourbon. Nice. But Brian's more the Coors Light or an IPA guy.
Jeremy, yes, roll off sir. To the tea. Coors Light,
the good old
only.
CL smoothie. So smooth.
Yeah, Brian refers to it as the C minus, but
oh yeah, yeah.
It's a good one.
That's really good. I love hearing and following your guys' story. It's so fun to watch everything that you guys are doing and just see like how, I think too, for us, you know, there's not a lot of farmers out there that are doing social media or using social media. And I think it's really cool that you guys are using that in a way where, you know, I'm watching these stories and I'm like, this is hilarious. The sheep got out, they're everywhere. It's just mayhem. And I'm cracking up and I'm like, why is this so funny? And it's funny because I feel like nobody else is doing it. You don't see that anywhere else because there's not a lot of farmers that are utilizing social media in the way that you
guys
are.
Yeah, like I said, they've bridged the gap really well.
And I know Brian, are you on social media?
I am. I'm more of a consumer than I am a creator. Mary's a creator.
Yeah.
We actually, our relationship, we work all the time together, but we kind of have slightly different skill sets, and which is a good thing. And so Mary's department is the social media, and I'm doing other things.
He says, we say that he raises the meat and I sell it.
And yeah. That's amazing.
Okay.
Sell the meat.
That's so good. I would say, babe, I would say we...
Jer wants to get off social media so bad.
Babe, you can't say that on the podcast.
I just said it. Jer's just like, that'd be his dream. He's like, I just want to... And what you guys were saying too, there's something so rewarding about doing something physical with your hands. And a lot of what Jer and I do, the nature of it, is on our computers, you know, kind of like your guys' old jobs of just, we're on our phones a lot, we're on our computers a lot. And I think there's something about that physical... Well, element that Jeremy really craves and Jeremy really needs.
I mean, on a small scale, like I just built a table.
It's like the most fun thing that he's done.
We need more stories about things that you're building, like the table.
Yeah, right. And
that was really fun to follow along with.
Thank you. So that was probably one of the most engaged with segments that I've ever had on my social media. And it's because I think people saw I was doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And I was passionate.
And then he really
even
loves
though it.
It
was a silly little table, it's recently in the season of life I'm in right now, it was my outlet. And people bought into that passion and that energy because it was real and authentic, I feel.
That's beautiful, Jeremy. Mary's just showing it to me for the first time.
I pulled it up to show Brian.
Oh, nice.
You know, that's what people connect with. It wasn't this perfect story of I took this wood and I made this table. It was the highs and lows of like...
struggle.
Yeah, this is not working the way I wanted it to. And taking people along for that ride, you know, you really feel a part of it. And no one wants to see the perfect posts of, you know, beautiful table in a modern workshop. You want to know like, how did it get there? And that's so fun for all of us to, you know, be a part of.
Yeah.
100%.
Totally agree with that. And again, you guys have done so great at that as well, but, so a couple more things, guys. I know we're coming up on our time here, but, there's one thing you haven't quite mentioned yet. And I wanted to make sure we touched on it. And Brian, I'm not sure how involved with this specific aspect you are, but Mary, I know you specifically have a heart for helping entrepreneurs and specifically farmers like yourselves, ranchers, to take their business online. And you actually started a whole course, right?
Yeah. So I started a course called Small Business from Scratch. The course is kind of based on the principle that you can do it. And Brian does a lot of the behind the scenes work with me on the course. And
yeah.
So, you know, we've done, I think we've started 19 different small businesses now since we've been together. And, you know, he helps me form the LLC and make sure of the right insurance and set up payroll and all that behind the scenes stuff. And I'm doing the branding and building the website and making a logo and Illustrator. And, there are things you guys know, they're very doable. And the more you do them, the more, you know, second nature it is. But for someone who's never do that, has never done that, it seems impossible. And so we just really wanted to, you know, I helped and supported or counseled people a lot along the way of like, oh, here, let me help you start your business. Like, I'm so passionate about it. I love it. It brings me such joy to help other people doing that. So I finally wrote a course, and it's probably one of the most difficult things difficult and time consuming projects I've done in my life, but so rewarding when it was done. We've got like 80 videos that I made, most of them kind of teaching each chapter, and Brian jumped in to help me on the, entity formation and legality and payroll type chapters. But it's really kind of a from scratch, start to finish. You can do it. You can start your own business. Here's how, step by step. So it's kind of, it can work for any business, but especially businesses in the agricultural world. The small business from scratch kind of module works for any business. And then we have a social media from scratch module that, you know, even people who are doing direct marketing or influencer marketing or affiliate sales, you know, I know, Jeremy, you're a big believer in this. You can create a revenue and opportunity from the internet, which is just right now. And you just have to really harness that. And it doesn't cost anything but our time and our, you know, energy to
ingenuity.
Put in.
Ingenuity. Yeah.
Exactly. And then the third module is specifically on selling and shipping a product. So that is really valuable for people, farmers or ranchers who might want to sell online and ship perishable products. Like I said, it, you know, took us a long, big learning curve to kind of figure that out. But we're all about sharing that information and helping other people get off their feet. So we've done 3 in-person workshops where we had 15 women from all over the country and Canada come for each of those workshops. And then those really helped me kind of make sure that I was covering all the bases and getting everybody's questions answered. And now the online course, anybody can participate in. We open enrollment twice a year. And my favorite part about it is this community that's developed from the course. We have about 350 people enrolled now, and we've got a very active community on this Mighty Networks that works kind of like a Facebook.
Oh, yeah. We know Mighty Networks.
Yeah, we know Mighty Networks.
It's awesome. We're really happy with it.
That's cool.
So just people in there every day asking questions, supporting each other. You know, I'm in their forum every day helping out where we can, but we're able to get group volume discounts so that people can order these, you know, boxes and liners to get started at a lower cost. We've got group shipping rates so they don't have to have a huge volume to get those big tier discounts.
That's so much, Mary.
It's really amazing to see and really neat to see, you know, these people on social media putting these things into action and making it work. And a lot of these women, I think, were behind the scenes, especially on farms and ranches. You know, they're probably doing the books,
right?
All the food for the hands and helping their husbands behind the scenes, but they're behind the scenes. And now they're saying, well, wait a minute, you know, my husband needs to raise these animals the same way, but I have to step up and find a creative way to market and sell this, or this ranch might not last to the next generation. So, you know, seeing these women come out of the woodwork and convincing maybe fathers or father-in-laws that they need to change, which is never easy, but they're really taking a risk and doing it. And it just makes me so happy and proud to see and to be a part of.
Man.
Yeah, it's really it's a really unique time with social media and the ability, you know, the historical ag model is, you know, you sold your commodity at commodity prices to intermediaries who would further market, you know, what was being produced. And with social media, you've got this great opportunity to market your own product and to tell your story and build your own brand and brand your own ranch or farm. This is all kind of new territory, but it really is neat seeing multi-generation ranches jump on board with it because there's a lot of opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you guys, Mary, you're mostly running this course. I mean, do you have a team of people helping you do this?
No, I have one right-hand gal in the shop, Haley, who's amazing and helps me do all of the shipping and, you know, getting these books out for the course. But other than that, we really run a lean operation and we like to be up, you know, see everything that comes through and really have our hands on it.
Wow.
I mean, so, we just know how much work that is. And I cannot imagine doing that work on top of four kids, on top of ranching.
Anyone listening is probably like, wow. And just to make...
You guys have a lot of energy.
Well, we're planning on coming down and visiting you guys and checking out the campsite. And so we're really looking forward to that and excited. But that's a different thing. Something came to my brain I got to ask. How do you keep it all straight? I know everyone has their own system of like, writing tasks down, scheduling, whether it's physical list, digital list. I mean, is there anything, any tool you guys would specifically recommend that's been helpful in just keeping everything straight and organized, I guess? Or is that a myth?
I think it's a myth.
It's a myth. And, yep. I think one of the things that works well for Mary and I is that we really don't schedule things often. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know what each day is going to bring, but, you know, what comes up gets our full attention. We have to triage all the time, but there isn't this tremendous, you know, if I showed you my to-do list, which is about 14 feet long, but, you know, what I set out to accomplish my daily task tomorrow, I've learned that that doesn't really work in agriculture. There's too many firing against you, too many things eager to break or other problems. So I think a lot of it on the scheduling side, it's just reacting and triaging well. And Mary and I tag team all kinds of different things together.
Yeah. And we know it's something that's going to be efficient for both of us to do together. We're all about it. But a lot of things, it's like, okay, you're going to do this, I'm going to do this, and we divide and conquer. But I think the one thing that if I could, you know, offer any piece of advice that really works for us is the model that you touch everything once. And it's not like, okay, let's start this. And well, maybe let's, you know, think about it. We live by the 90% rule, which is not being perfectionist, that like if you can get it 90% of the way there and it's going to work, go. Don't focus on making it perfect. Just, you know, if we're going to start a project or move things around, do it, touch it once, get it done, and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah. That's good advice. Okay, cool. So all this stuff that you guys are doing and you're working divide and conquer sometimes. Sometimes you're doing projects together. What about you guys? Like, how do you guys, you know, with the kids and the farm and the businesses, what's your time of connection? Like, do you guys have a weekly date night or something like that? Because I know it must be hard to get away from the farm. It's not like you guys can leave and go take, you know, a weekend away. You can't just leave the animals. So how do you guys get time?
Priority to spend a lot of time together during the day. You know, we'll usually have lunch together at the restaurant and that's kind of our sit down, knock out the business type of stuff, you know, go through the to-do list. Who do we need to call? What do we need to do? Pay the bills, kind of, you know, the the working lunch date. But yep. really the evening chore time is like a date every day. And that, you know, I drive Ryan's Ranger, we grab a couple of Coors Lights and I make a sidecar and I hit the gates for him and we go around the ranch and tackle whatever has to be done. And, you know, that's really our time to just kick back, connect, hang out. And, you know, a lot of people ask like, oh, can do you need some help? We'd love to come do chores with you. And we're like, oh, that's kind of our special time.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I love that. And for anyone listening that thinks like, well, that sounds like work. No, I mean, it's one of the best things. And babe, like our daughter Ember comes with us because she's still super young, but she'll come whenever we hit the gravel driveway at the farm. She'll go, moo ride, moo ride. Because we have Kawasaki mules. And so we call them the mules, you know.
Yeah.
Or the Polaris Ranger or whatever. And we just go on a little cruise and it is seriously. And I fill squirrel holes or
right now there's endless blackberries. Yeah. So she just is like,
I'll set
covered.
Traps. And it is just one of the most relaxing, special, joy filled like times of our day. And so that's so cool to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice.
Yeah. And we have these, I mean,
and we'll do date nights about once a week. And, so, you know, we spend kind of all day mostly together, but we make sure to have time where we're just kind of like relaxed and get to reconnect.
Good. Yeah, good. All right. That. Well, we got another question or two. Can you guys let us in on one behind the scenes thing that you've been working on, learning on, or dreaming about lately? Sure. What's next?
So we've always got, you know, something ahead. And that is a great question because our sort of final piece of the puzzle in this whole project, you know, we've got the ranch where we're raising the animals from start to finish. And we've got the restaurant where we're serving the meat and we've got the farm store where we can send the meat. But the processing of it, which is the harvesting, which is, you know, the nicer way of saying slaughtering, and the actual wrap. So putting this beautiful meat that we've worked so hard for in a beautiful package to send to a customer, that we still have to outsource to a USDA certified abattoir, is the fancy word for slaughterhouse, and cut and wrap facility. And we've really struggled with finding an operation that cares as much as we do about every cut of meat. So we're, you know, where we're going now, we trust them. They're doing it a great job, but it's not what our dream is to really have this whole vertical integration, whatever you want to call it, the whole puzzle complete. Mm-hmm. So Brian has been working very hard on, you want to tell him what the.
Yeah. So what we're, it's the kind of the final piece of the farm to the fork journey, and it's the processing piece. And so we've been working on a small meat processing plant where we would process the animals ourselves and do it for other similarly situated small farmers. Excuse me, we're very much with a focus on the consumer, elevated focus, of course, on animal handling, enhanced dry aging for beef. We're looking at putting some dry aging, special dry aging rooms in that would rival what's in a fancy steakhouse. Premium packaging. You know, I think one of the challenges people have buying meat from farmers is when the packages aren't really well packaged, you kind of have this elevated expectation that everything's going to look like it does in the grocery store. And just frankly, that's not the way typical slaughterhouses operate. So, so elevated level on that, on labeling, and just very small, but very tier one USDA inspected operation for ourselves and for other similarly like-minded ranchers.
Yeah, and it'll probably be our biggest project to date because it's so involved between,
oh my gosh, I bet,
animal humane handling to the cutting room, the kill floor, to the dry aging. So he's working with all these engineers on the rail system, to the HVAC, to the, you know, the USDA certifications. And it will be one of those, like, you know, we'll hoping to get it built, within about a year. But you know, once we get this built, it's going to really be kind of a swan song accomplishment, we hope.
Holy and then you got to staff people to run that too, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a full on.
No, it's not a small it won't be a small operation.
Nothing is easy.
Wow. Well, you guys, that's
excited about kind of getting that to complete the circle here.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, that's
that
a huge
amazing
project, and we're rooting for you guys on that.
Yeah, thank you.
That's really cool. Okay, last thing we like to ask our guests when we remember to do it, because a lot of times we forget.
We often forget. But most of the time forget.
But I had to remember with you guys because I know they're going to be just very unique. But we do this thing. We call it roses and thorns. It's essentially your high and your low from the week. So what's one rose from the week and what's one thorn from the week? You guys can each go. Start with your thorn so we can end on a happy note.
Okay, let's think about this.
Nelly got out.
Oh, Melly. We never talked about Melly.
Melly, yeah, I know.
He did actually get out today. But I wouldn't say that was the biggest thorn.
I know. I'm just...
No, we woke up the other day and we had about 200 sheep on the road, which is different than Melly being on the road.
Oh, wow, yeah.
No, he called them mama's damn sheep. Okay, so I think my rose and my thorn would probably be related, but we just got back from this big county fair week where the whole community comes together. We move into the fairgrounds. So I literally lived in the county fairgrounds with the girls in our little camper trailer from Tuesday at 4 o'clock until Sunday at 8 o'clock. I was like, I live here now. So that is going to be my rose. But the thorn part about it was living, you know, on the fairgrounds, so dirty. We got this rainstorm in. It was muddy. We're working with the animals all week. I get back to the house and I'm so excited for a shower. And the project Brian's been working on, it keeps getting pushed to lower and lower priority because, as he talked about the priority list, other things are more important.
Yeah.
He's new water lines for the house. And unfortunately, wow, the water is about at a trickle.
Oh, no.
It might be the only time in our 760-foot square house I was like, this is pushing it.
Yeah. Dang. Time to go roll around in the hand line.
I took a mule up to camp, and that we have a beautiful outdoor shower there. So I just had to drive about a mile away from the house. But the rose was definitely this county fair experience and the girls raising steers and selling them at the fair at our junior livestock auction. Just seeing the whole community come together to support each other and, you know, being all at the fairgrounds together for a week. It's really an Americana experience that I don't think exists many places anymore. And even though it's a lot of work, it was just a really great experience all around.
It's a great way to put it.
I agree with that. It really was a neat kind of community supported event and lots of other farming families and really neat opportunity for the kids to really push themselves, work together, showing animals, selling animals, saying goodbye to animals. It was pretty cool experience.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Let's see, my rose and my thorn. I got to go with the same rose. And thorn was, Mary was grinding through the fair by herself. I can't leave very easily. And so I was going back and forth about 40 minutes away and back home.
Yeah.
And taking care of livestock and trying to do it all myself. And, you know, you realize then how much Mary obviously helps, but also how much the kids help. So,
and he got caught in a rainstorm and just happened to be up at camp. And I have this little Dixie dog who's my constant companion, so she had to hang out with Brian all week, so he texted me from up at camp sitting on the couch with a whiskey in his hand and his feet up and watching this crazy lightning storm all throughout the valley, but he didn't have me there for it, but he had my dog, so
yeah. Well, that sounds like a nice
the dog's a rose or a thorn.
Oh no, you're not allowed. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a nice setting, and I can say we're super excited to be able to experience that at some point in the near future.
Yeah, we can't wait to have you.
It'd be great to have you.
Yeah, definitely. So
tell our listeners where they can find you guys online real quick.
So we are at fivemariesfarms.com. It's spelled out FIVE. And you can order our meats at shopfivemaries.com. And the e-course, if anybody wanted any info on that, is m5.fyi. And we're obviously on Instagram as Five Mary's Farms.
perfect.
Awesome.
Love it.
Well, you guys, Brian, Mary, it was a pleasure having you guys.
Yeah, so fun.
Yeah, we really enjoyed it. It was great to chat with you guys.
Yeah, and this is Brian. This is your first one, so congrats.
Hey, Jeremy, I look forward to meeting you in person. You too, Audrey.
Yes, yeah,
thanks a lot.
Too.
Likewise, you guys. We're excited. All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, bye, guys.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Wow, well, what a story they have.
Yeah.
Right, babe?
We were smiling a lot that whole episode.
Yeah, it's just...
if you could have seen our faces, we're just like, I don't know, we just have so much... We share the same joys, I think, that they do. Like, yeah. The same things that bring them joy bring us joy.
And what's interesting, too, is it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, so much work.
That's but the thing I think, you learn, too. They have so much energy.
Well, you learn to love it, too. And when your work can fill you up and actually energize you, then that's the perfect revolving door circle you want to find yourself in. I think they've found that.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah. So... thanks for listening, you guys. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it on your Instagrams. And if you do that, we buy 5 of you coffee every single week. So all you got to do is screenshot the episode, post it to your Instagram stories, tag Audrey, myself, and Behind the Scenes Podcast. And if you tag all 3, we'll see it. And
you'll be entered to win.
You'll be entered to win. We choose 5 of you and we just email you a gift card. So 5 of you get coffee, just share it to your socials. And
this is our way of just thanking you guys for, you know, sharing about the podcast and getting it out to friends and being a listener. And we really appreciate all you guys, all you long-term listeners who've been listening since the beginning. It's almost been a year. We're coming up on a year. Not quite.
Yeah.
But we really appreciate you guys. We really, really appreciate those of you who have taken a second to leave a review for the podcast. They mean so much to us and they really help our podcast get seen and maybe checked out for the first time by new listeners. So if you haven't done so before, it's super easy. You can just go into whatever podcast form you use to listen and just hit the 5-star button, leave a quick review, and let us know how the podcast encourages you or challenges you in your own life.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, until next week, have a good week and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.